Welcome back to FNS Mac with Zahir, and we should have Russell Hargreaves of TalkSport on the line. Are you there, Russell?
Hi, Zahir. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, and thank you for coming on FNS Mac, and thank you for finally making your debut.
Yeah, mate, a pleasure. Delighted to be on.
Especially with the Rugby World Cup coming up.
Yeah, absolutely, mate, absolutely.
Russell, first of all, firstly, thanks for coming on. How did you come into rugby? Was it something you grew up with, or is a passion that came up in later in life?
It's actually the latter, funnily enough. I was more of a football boy growing up, being from the West Midlands, where there is a rugby kind of element, but generally football is very much king in the kind of Birmingham, Walsall, Black Country, Kidderminster kind of area. So, yeah, very much a footy man. Played a bit of rugby at school, and then it was actually when I moved to London to study journalism before, obviously, getting into broadcasting. And then a couple of my old friends who I used to be at university with were season ticket holders at Harlequins, which is based opposite the main Twickenham Stadium in southwest London, and went along to Quinn's a few times, really enjoyed it and got into it that way. And yeah, for about the last 15 years, just under, been very much into my rugby, and it's kind of grown and become a massive love of mine, both professionally and personally as well.
Fantastic. And you also have got your own magazine you edit as well, isn't it? Is it called Talking Rugby, is that correct?
Yeah, it's an agency, basically. There is some written element to it, though, here, but it's more of an audio-based kind of product, and we provide match reports, interviews, podcasts for both the Rugby Football Union, which is England's governing body of the national team, and also Premiership Rugby, that's the governing body of the league, the Premiership League that takes place each year. So we do a lot of kind of contractual work for both of those, and there's the odd written bit, but generally speaking, it's an audio-based agency that we do, and it keeps us busy. It keeps me out of trouble most of the time.
Fantastic. So how would the listeners like to listen into that? How can they get hold of that?
Well, to be honest with you, the actual rugby work that I do for Talk Sport a lot of the time is actually through this agency. Not the case for the World Cup, which we'll talk about in just a second. That is very much where I'm working bespoke for TalkSport Radio. But to be honest with you, if you listen to a fair number of my bits and bobs of output, you can catch them on different radio stations across the UK, Forces Radio across the world, and things like the RFU podcast, the Premiership Rugby website, and Talking Rugby has an audio boom page as well at Talking Rugby, where you can check out a few of the interviews and bits and bobs that we do as well.
Oh, fantastic stuff. Let's move on to the Rugby World Cup. I'm going to start with England, if that's okay with you, Russell.
Yeah, mate, so much to talk about here. Obviously, I was at the England training camp yesterday when England named their final 31-man squad for the Rugby World Cup. It started with a squad of about 50 several weeks ago. England have been training in Surrey. They've been training out in America in Colorado and back again to Surrey. They've been through two warm-up games, home and away to France. And during that period, Zahir, they've been cutting down the squad systematically from 50 to about 45 to 39. And then yesterday, head coach Stuart Lancaster had that very, very tough call to do. He had to decide which final eight players he would cull and which final 31 players would be his final selection for the World Cup. So he did it. There's a rugby league convert called Sam Burgess who's made the cut. We'll talk, I'm sure, in a second about the difference between league and union, the two codes of rugby. But he made it, which is very interesting. But a couple of big names, Danny Cipriani, who's a mercurial, talented but troubled talent, didn't quite make it. And nor did a guy that I know very well from Harlequins, Nick Easter, who's a veteran of the scene, and many thought he would sneak in as well. But Stuart Lancaster had his tough calls to make, and he made them yesterday.
Yeah, you answered my first question. Funny enough, my first question was, what do you think of Cipriani, Luther Burrell, and Nick Easter not being in the squad? But you've already answered that.
So well, I kind of thought
Luther Burrell is unlucky as well to miss out as well.
It's really tough. What it does do, Zahir, is it shows that English rugby is in a good state, in that there are lots of tough calls to make. What would almost be more of a problem is if there weren't any good players out there and it was almost too easy to pick the squad. So what's good is that there are people knocking the door down and really fighting for each position. There are tough calls for Stuart Lancaster to make in three or four different departments, and that does bode well. But yeah, I feel sorry for Luther Burrell because he's a guy who's played in both of the last two Six Nations championships, where England take on the rest of the home nations in France, and England have narrowly finished second in each of those to Ireland and to the French respectively. And in those, Luther has done very, very well, but he's just maybe a notch shy of like true top class. And because Sam Burgess has come onto the scene and done well, there's another wonderful young player from Exeter called Henry Slade, who alongside Sam shone when England beat France in the first of the two French World Cup warm-up games that I mentioned. So they've come in, Luther's missed out, and from what Stuart was saying to me yesterday, Luther was absolutely devastated when he was told. Lancaster left it until the very final morning before the squad announcement to tell the last couple of players who were right on the cusp if they were going or not, and he had that horrible conversation to have with Luther. And also Stuart has been based and has coached up in Leeds, where Luther is from. He's from Huddersfield. They've got a long history together. He's known his family, he's coached him at junior level, he's basically a good friend of his. So he had to basically say to someone that he's known and respected for years, mate, I'm cutting you at the final hurdle and you won't wear the red rose for the World Cup. So he did that to Luther. As you say, he did it to Danny Cipriani. Cipriani's a little bit different in that he's just unlucky that there are two other excellent fly halves in his position, in obviously George Ford and Owen Farrell. He can also play fullback, the number 15 jersey that kind of sweeps up in the backfield. You've got Alex Good and the incumbent Mike Brown there. And Danny, you know, he's done fine. He's done absolutely fine, but he just wasn't quite able to break his way in. And as I say, Nick Easter, a veteran of the scene, really, really good player, same age as me, 37, got a lot of respect for Nick. You know, I've known him through Harlequins for years, and he came on in the second warm-up games here against the French and just made such a difference. He had such composure under pressure. He's a veteran, as I say, so he knows the game, he knows how to cope under pressure. But again, he didn't quite make it. So those are, you've highlighted the right three that are unlucky in that final selection.
I could carry. Russell, it's Mac from the studio.
Hello, pal, you alright?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. So I could just carry on listening to both of you going on. But I just want to pull you up on that, because you made an absolutely brilliant point there about Nick Easter. Now, just for his experience, wouldn't it have been worthwhile just for having him in that squad?
Well, I would agree with you, and I put this question to Stuart, and I put it also to Graham Rowntree, the forwards coach, and also to the captain of England, Chris Robshaw, who's another Harlequins player. And if anyone knows Nick Easter well, it would be Chris Robshaw from club level as well. And I agree, there are only seven players, okay, in the 31-man squad that actually played at the last World Cup in 2011, where England were drummed out and did very poorly and went out in a pretty depressing way in the quarterfinals. And I can understand how England want to move on, evolve and leave that behind them, but you do need experience as well. And 7 out of 31 is a huge turnover in the space of just 4 years. And yes, it's all well and good to have all of these exciting new young players coming through, but England haven't won anything yet. They've been second every single four Six Nations that Lancaster's been in charge. That's a good record, but they haven't won anything yet in terms of silverware. And just someone like Easter, as I say, he just came on and just gauged the situation, knew what to do. And I just think that because he can also play three different positions within the forward pack, I just felt he was worth a shout coming in. But he's not made it.
Definitely. And then moving on to the next one then, in terms of, you know, lacking the total experience, Sam Burgess, just over a year or just under a year, he's, you know, changed codes from league to union. Is that a good call?
I think it's a good call. There are quite a few of my colleagues who might well disagree with me. First of all, I'm going to talk personally. Sam is really, really, really nice guy. And what's very important is he's come in with the right attitude. He's come in despite being a rugby league, you know, World Cup player, a fantastic player for Great Britain and England in rugby league. He's won everything at club level in this country. Let's not forget, he then went to Australia, the best rugby league division in the world, the National Rugby League that they have in Australia. He won the whole thing there with the South Sydney Rabbitohs as well. So this guy is a winner in a different code. The 13-man game where physicality is the key thing, taking the ball into contact, taking hit after hit, the kind of the special skills of union, the kind of guile, the nuance, all the extra sort of rules and other elements to the game that are foreign to him is the issue. And what he's had is a very quick conversion course, a crash course if you like, where he suddenly had to learn a whole lot of new stuff. And at Bath, his club, he started playing at centre. He then moved into the scrum, where actually at Bath, that worked better for him playing in the back row of the scrum. But for England, he's been selected back into the back row again. So there are quite a few people who just worry that under the highest pressure, when it comes to the top teams in the world, and when you've got a split-second decision to make, when you need to be instinctive, he is not schooled in rugby union. He might just take a split second longer to make a decision, might therefore lead to a mistake or lead to someone nipping in and taking the ball or something. And that's the fear. But he's an absolute physical specimen. He's incredible. some of the tackles he puts in just send the opponents flying backwards. He's wonderful ball in hand. He's getting there. The anti-argument is that because he's only had a year, he's...